Pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to his holy and precious word of truth for our instruction, the word that's upon my spirit you'll find in Hebrews, but keep your finger in the book of Daniel, because we will be referring to that most of the way through the service. But the text I want to talk about is in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read some of the words in verse 32 onwards. This is all about living by faith. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of, and then there's a list of all the sorts of people and of the prophets who through faith quenched the violence of fire, in verse 34. So verse 32, first part of that, verse 33, first part of that, and verse 34. It's all one long sentence with a lot more information. But what I want to focus on is this, the through faith subdued or quenched the violence of fire. Well, Daniel is an interesting book in that in chapter 2, we see that at the end of chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had learned a really important lesson, that there was going to be an after him. Daniel says, after thee, or after you, other kingdoms are going to come. Nebuchadnezzar learned the lesson that he wasn't going to be here forever. His kingdom wasn't going to last forever. And Nebuchadnezzar was told by Daniel of the kingdom of heaven, which is a kingdom that was going to overcome all the other kingdoms of the world. There was going to be a kingdom made without hands that was going to be greater than all the other kingdoms of the world, and it was going to be an everlasting kingdom. It will never be destroyed. And Nebuchadnezzar had heard that lesson, and he had acknowledged, of a truth it is, that your God, Daniel's God, the God of heaven, is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Daniel had told of the dream, and that was the outcome of chapter 2. And you'd have thought that Nebuchadnezzar would have learned that lesson. But Nebuchadnezzar is just like all of us. Our life is not always straightforward. Life is, for all of us, and for Nebuchadnezzar, is a battle between the good and the evil, the good and the bad. And Nebuchadnezzar is no different from any of us in that sense. Here, Nebuchadnezzar, in the end of chapter 2, has a very good intention, but it is overcome by sinful thoughts. It is overcome by temptations. It is overcome by sinful desires and lusts. And that is what we are all prone to, just the same. And so Nebuchadnezzar gets to be thinking about this idol that he'd had, or this image that he'd had the dream about, with a head of gold and shoulders of silver and a chest of bronze and legs of iron and feet of iron and miry clay. He got to be thinking about that because he thought, well, that image got knocked over and there was a kingdom that was built up from the mountain, or the stone that was cut out of the mountain. And Nebuchadnezzar gets to be thinking I want to be that image that won't be toppled. Because you see, in each one of us, there is the little g God in us, which the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 told Adam and Eve all about. You could be gods, little g gods. And you see, life is a battleground between the little g gods in ourselves and the God of heaven. And the God in heaven has his decree that thou shalt have no other gods before me. God first. But you see, we think something different. We think, I hear. And Nebuchadnezzar may have thought that. He may have thought, I've heard all about what it said in Daniel chapter 2. But I'd like a little bit of celebrity status. I'd like a little bit of look at me too. And that is like many people are. We think like Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want that to be just the head of gold. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set up an image which is top to toe gold. 70 cubits high, 30 metres high, much taller than this chapel. 30 metres high, and it's going to be top to toe, total gold. And it won't have weak feet. It won't have feet of part iron and part clay so that it topples over. You see, he's got pride, just like so many of us have a problem with pride by nature. That pride that says, I don't want to be thinking that I'm going to be relegated to a position where I'm just a after me. There's an afterwards. I don't want to be thinking that I'm just an after me. Nebuchadnezzar's thinking, I don't want to think I'm just dispensable. I don't want to be thinking I'll be a forgotten nobody. I don't want to be thinking I'll be in a position where I've got no power. And in that way, it's just like many, many, many human beings. Just the human race, you and I. But in so doing, what Nebuchadnezzar does is puts himself on a path of confrontation with the God of heaven. He wasn't putting God first, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He was putting Nebuchadnezzar first. Even though he'd made that declaration, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. In other words, your God is the Lord, the commander in charge of kings. Now he's changed his thoughts. I don't like that. I want me to be first. Nebuchadnezzar first. And when we disobey God's commands, we are in effect putting ourselves on a path of direct confrontation with the God of heaven. It's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He was putting himself here on a path of direct confrontation with the God of heaven. Because the God of heaven gives us many commands. He tells us to worship him, but if we say no, I'd rather respect my wishes or myself and put that as a higher priority. If we don't seek first the kingdom of God, we are seeking ourselves, and we are in a direct confrontation with God. When people say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do on the Lord's Day, and not keep the Sabbath holy, like or separate, or apart, separate to God. People say, no, I want to do my things. We are putting ourselves on a direct confrontation path with God. Same as when we disobey parents, we disobey authority, we say, I don't want to be told what to do. We're putting ourselves in direct confrontation with God. When we hate, when we kill, whether in our government, UK, legally or whatever, we are putting ourselves in direct confrontation with God. When we steal, we are putting ourselves in direct confrontation with God, because we're saying, I want something that God hasn't seen fit to give us. When we commit adultery, we are putting ourselves in direct confrontation with God, who has decreed all the decrees of marriage and the sanctity of marriage. When we lie, and when we covet and want things that we haven't been given, people are putting themselves in direct confrontation with God. And Nebuchadnezzar was really strict in asserting his authority, really strongly in this. He says, if you do not worship this image, you will be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. When this orchestra plays, you must bow down to this image. And if you don't, that same hour, it says, you will be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It's a harsh punishment. It's an immediate punishment. And he thought it was justice. But you see, it's justice that isn't fair justice, because it's a justice where he has taken upon himself extra powers that were not bestowed upon him by God. Rulers are bestowed power to rule under God, not over God, but under God. And here was a command that was being made that was trying to overturn the right ways of God. And so although he thought he was doing justice and asserting his authority, it wasn't fair justice, it wasn't kind justice. And mankind is so often like that. You look at the way that mankind allows laws to be made in our day and generation, and they're in direct confrontation with God, but yet people vehemently punish and ostracize those people that say it's wrong. You can think of lots of examples about the way modern life is today, where people are vehemently opposed to people that disagree with their views on all sorts of things that the Bible says are wrong. They will say things like, how dare you say things like that? I have a right to do this, or I have a right to do that. How dare you criticize me? Well, you see, Nebuchadnezzar was just the same. He had it was a really harsh punishment for those people that disagreed with him. But people today, they assert their authority in direct confrontation with God, saying that they want, well, think of lands or authority or control or choice. And how dare you contradict me, or how dare you resist me? And so when the time came that this happened, and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego did not bow down to the king, we see that there are certain Jews, verse 12, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were doing the commands of God in heaven in worshipping, thou shalt have no other gods before me, but they were not serving so-called the little g god Nebuchadnezzar, who had set up this image. And we see how angry people get. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, he was furious that his authority had been disregarded. Now, there were thousands of people, no doubt, that were bowing down, but these three people that didn't bow down were far more of a problem than all the thousands of people that did bow down. His nose was put out, his pride was hurt. Why aren't all the people declaring that I am an important person and should be listened to? He was in a great rage, we read. And we see that Nebuchadnezzar has these men brought up before them and explains the deal. He tells them and says, you've got to, when you hear all this orchestra playing, you must fall down and worship the image. And if you do, kind of, I'll let you off. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. He reiterated, he reminded them, I am here to be obeyed. He had in his head kind of God, little g God status, that he had authority to make rules where he wanted to, without reference to what God wanted him to do. And yet, you see, he then goes on to say, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You can see that, just as I was saying earlier, Nebuchadnezzar is on a path of direct confrontation with the God of heaven. He has forgotten, verse 47 of chapter 2, that the Lord is a Lord of kings, a God of gods. The people that think they're little g gods, God is over, is in charge. The people that think that they are kings, God is in charge. Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten that. It was no longer God first, but it is Nebuchadnezzar first. Nebuchadnezzar all-powerful. Nebuchadnezzar thinking that he has the power to deliver Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego out of God's hands. And yet Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego very calmly and truthfully, respectfully, but in an unmoved way, an unbroken way, in a way that asserted their trust in God. We do not respect you as a God, Nebuchadnezzar, little g God. We are servants of the God of heaven. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not worried about the consequences of what you can do to us. We are not careful to be thinking, I mustn't upset Nebuchadnezzar in this way. We are not worried about what you think you can do. Because, just like in the previous chapter, verse 47, they're going to remind Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. You may think you're important. Our God is able to deliver. The God whom we serve, the God whom we worship, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. More than that, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of your hand, O King. You may think you've got us in your clutches. You may think you've got the authority to do what you want with us. But our God has us in his hands and is able to deliver us out of your hands. You see, if these three people were to go into that burning fiery furnace and die, they would be delivered through death out of their bodies, their souls to be taken to the God, to be with the God they served. So they would be taken out of the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, because that burning fiery furnace would have no impact anymore on them. And the wrath and anger and fury of Nebuchadnezzar could have no more impact upon them. They would indeed be delivered out of the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. But if not, you see, if we do live, we will also have been delivered out of Nebuchadnezzar's hands. The hottest, burning, fiery furnace would not be able to touch us because we're in his care. Because we serve the God of heaven, not Nebuchadnezzar and your image. Well, The king was absolutely furious, told them to heat the furnace up hotter than it was designed to be heated, and it was going to be immediate. But look at the outcome. There was two outcomes. There was the most mighty men, more than one, don't know how many there were, maybe two or three, but the most mighty men that were servants of Nebuchadnezzar, tied up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. It doesn't say that here, but from the suggestion that Nebuchadnezzar was surprised that they were walking around in the fiery furnace, you would have thought, well, he wouldn't be that surprised if they were made of rope, because rope would soon burn in the fire. Maybe, we don't know, but maybe they were actually tied up in metal handcuffs or feet cuffs or whatever, ankle chains. We don't know. But they were tied up. And these men were the men that were servants of Nebuchadnezzar, tied up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were servants of Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar could not save them. They got near to the burning fiery furnace, threw Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in, and then were killed. The mighty power of Nebuchadnezzar could not keep alive the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, the people that worshipped the things of Nebuchadnezzar. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego had faith in the God of heaven. They served the God of heaven. And the God of heaven, in a beautiful verse it says here, he came down amongst them. There was a fourth person walking in the fire with them. The Son of Man came down to help them. The Son of Man came down to deliver them. The Son of Man came down, or the Son of God, I should say, came down to keep them alive, and he came to set them free. The God of heaven did not abandon his servants Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't keep his own servants alive. God could more than ably keep his servants alive. You see, the God of heaven was able to overcome the hottest burning fiery furnace. It had absolutely no impact on these three men. They were saved. We read there wasn't a hair of their head was singed. We read that the clothes were absolutely in top pristine condition still. There was no smell of any smoke on them. And they were delivered with honour. In a way that Nebuchadnezzar has to admit that there is no God that is able to save like this. He sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. I decreed that they should die. God decreed that they should not die. And God saved these people, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, even though they yielded their bodies to serve their God rather than Nebuchadnezzar. You see, this is the God of heaven that we hear about here. This is the King of Kings. And in our day and generation, this is relevant to us because he still has his commands. He still tells of punishment for sin. Our God does. Where we disobey his commands, we are on a path of confrontation with God. And he tells us that that confrontation will lead to us dying, us being cast into a burning fiery furnace like hell, where there is no escape. But God is so different. The kingdom of heaven is so different from the way that Nebuchadnezzar carried on, from the way that mankind carries on. With Nebuchadnezzar and with mankind, often one sin, one mistake, one text message that we say wrong, or whatever in the authority's eyes, leads to immediate punishment. But what a contrast that is with our God, who is long-suffering, slow to anger, of great mercy, able to spare us the punishments that we deserve as we fall before him, seeking his mercy. He has a message to mankind today that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know him. He takes no pleasure, we read, in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should be destroyed. How different that is to the way that Nebuchadnezzar tells, that if you break one of my commandments, that very hour you will be sent into the burning fiery furnace. You see, our Lord God, in his word, we have his word before us this morning, and his precious word reveals to us in a very loving way that if we walk in the path of sin, it's a path of confrontation with God, and we will lose. We will be overcome by death. We will be overcome by hell in just the same way as those men that threw Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego into the fiery furnace were overcome by the flames. But he lovingly reveals to us, God in his word lovingly reveals to us the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able, like he did here, to overcome the power of the burning fiery furnace. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to overcome the burning fiery furnace of hell for his people. He is able to walk with us through the consequences of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to bear all the heat of God's anger and shield us from that anger. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to preserve us, set us free from the temptations and the powers of evil that would overthrow a man that makes a commitment like Nebuchadnezzar, that he believes of a God, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. But at this stage he wasn't able to keep to that belief. But the Lord Jesus is able to free us from the powers of temptation and deliver us from evil. He's able to set us free like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, walking loose in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Why was that? The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God was with them. The Lord Jesus Christ was with them through these circumstances. And this is the glorious message of the gospel for hell-deserving and death-deserving sinners, that though we cannot stand up to these things, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to stand up. And so there's a big question. Yes, the Lord Jesus is able to shield us from this burning fiery furnace. And so who are you this morning? And who am I this morning going to serve? There are those important people that we could serve like a Nebuchadnezzar, but they cannot save us from death. They cannot save us from hell. They can do some little things in helping us through our lives, but they cannot save us from death. They cannot save us from hell. You can't save yourself. You have a never-dying soul, and the destination and the whereabouts of that never-dying soul at your death, at my death, is out of our control. We will not be able to declare or decree where our souls will go. And mankind is in exactly the same situation. Mankind cannot save normal mankind, human mankind, other than the Son of God, cannot save us. You can go through your life in confrontation with God, but in the end, God will win. We will lose. We will be lost. We will be eternally dead. We will be eternally in a burning fiery furnace. Or, you see, we can repent. Or we can repent and change from being in confrontation with God to being in no confrontation with God. From bowing down before the Lord Jesus Christ and telling him that we hear his message. We fall at his feet. We worship him. We worship him as the rightful commander of our lives, the rightful Lord of our lives, the rightful Lord of the human race, the rightful Lord of the most powerful people here upon earth. You see, governments don't have the authority, they think they do, but they don't have the authority to govern in every way they want to. They are to govern under God. They are to know that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And what a wonderful thing to know and see that me, you and I, in confrontation with God is a disaster. But to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him. To see that by faith there is a God that we can know by faith. We cannot see God for ourselves, but we read in God's word of the people that did see God. And here is one of them, Nebuchadnezzar, who saw God saving his people, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And the Lord Jesus has written this in this for our knowledge and our teaching. To see that in the future of my life, because of my sin, I need deliverance. One that is able to deliver me from hell. And we see here that Nebuchadnezzar decrees, he sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. And has changed the king's word. Yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. You see, we have a future before us, and there is only a bright future in because of our sins. There is only one way of having a bright future, and that is in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Jesus. As he delivered from Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace, he is able to deliver us. All of God's righteous anger against me for the sins that I have committed, Jesus Christ is able to bear on that cross. All of the hell that I deserve and we deserve because of our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bear on our behalf. The Lord Jesus is able to go through and bear the consequences of God's anger on our behalf and deliver us and end hell and end the consequences of sin for us. You see, we are to be repenting and we are to be serving the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. You see, I don't know whether they saw this Son of God walking with them in the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar definitely saw. They definitely received, obviously, his salvation. They definitely received his deliverance. But you see, Nebuchadnezzar and those that were observing saw deliverance. Well, may we see with the eye of faith. You see, faith, it is by faith that we quench the violence of the fire. By faith, we are able to overcome the punishments that we deserve, by faith in Jesus Christ. And faith is that we have an understanding that there is a God in heaven that did these things all these years ago, and that he is now in heaven, and by through the Spirit we are able to gain access to God. And we can know and feel these things in our souls. There's a little verse that was told of a couple that were having a really hard time on their farm, and the rain kept falling at the time of the year when the hay was supposed to be made, and the farmer was in despair because he thought all the hay is being ruined. And his wife, a very gracious lady, said, "There is a heart, there is a hand. We feel but cannot see." That's faith, you see. The understanding there is a heart and there is a hand that we can feel but cannot see. We've always been provided for, and we shall always be. You see, there is that understanding that above all that you can see, there is a heart and a hand that is going to provide for us in the past and has done in the past and will care for us in the future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, there is that faith in God that he will provide for the future. And so there is to be that experiencing in our lives of falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus, lifting our heart up to him and using the name of Jesus, praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would deliver us from our sins, the hell that I deserve, the death that I deserve. Just like those great men in Nebuchadnezzar's army that were killed there. That's what we deserve. But to know in Jesus Christ there is one that's able to take us up in his arms and look after us as that fourth person with us through our lives, as it was in the burning fiery furnace. That as they were saved, so you and I can be saved. To bow down in the name of the Lord Jesus and receive and accept his advice, to receive his guidance and his leading. He that the Heavenly Father from heaven has called out whilst he was here upon earth, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him, in whom I am well pleased." Hear ye him. This is an instruction to all mankind, whether they listen or whether they don't. It's a loving message that when we're on a path of confrontation, listen to Jesus. Listen to see that there is a way out of that confrontation through his salvation. Hear him. Hear God our Father. To be led by him, to be guided by him, to be instructed by him, to be brought by the Lord Jesus Christ through this world to his eternal kingdom. Well, may we know that faith that we read about there, those people that quench the violence of the fire through faith. We are, through faith in Jesus Christ, as the Son of God in heaven today, we can come to him in spirit. We fall before him and bow before him in spirit, that he will lovingly take us up in his wings. And he that cometh unto me, he will in no wise cast out. May God add his blessing to those thoughts. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we do thank thee so much for thy precious, precious word. We pray, Lord God, that this morning, Lord, we may each ourselves know that thou art that one to whom we fall in faith. In the Spirit, God, be merciful to me, each one of us, sinners before thee we plead. Save us by thy grace, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.